The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Timothy had been apprenticing under Paul for several years and journeying with Paul as they traveled around the ancient world. And eventually, Paul had wound up placing Timothy in this church in Ephesus. And this is kind of, that's some of the background of these letters for Timothy. This church in Ephesus was a mixture of different peoples and different cultures, all coming together and now finding themselves as the early Christians. And Paul would continually counsel the church in Ephesus towards Christian unity and talking of the shape of life. But he was also writing to Timothy, who he had sent there. And Timothy, if not the person in charge of the church, Paul had certainly placed him there as a leader and as a caretaker of that. We recognize Timothy as being the first bishop of the church at Ephesus and one of the early bishops in the church. And as we've been encountering these letters from Timothy, letters to Timothy from Paul, we can see that Ephesus and the congregation there, what was going on was a challenge to Timothy. But even more, what was going on in Paul's life was certainly hard for Timothy. Paul, as we know, was in prison when he was writing to Timothy. And he's writing these letters from prison to his friend, the person that he mentored for years, who is worried about him. Because Timothy knows, and Paul knows, that Paul is facing his martyrdom in the near future. And so this is this context for these letters to Timothy, this apostle in prison, ready to face his martyrdom, and he's reaching out to Timothy to lift him up in faith and to pray for him and to encourage him. And some of this started, we caught these pieces from Paul about shaping the life of faith and how to find the things we need to move forward in times of struggle. And a couple weeks ago, he pointed, we read where he points Timothy to his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice as the ones who had transmitted the faith to him. And it's interesting because his grandmother Lois was not a convert to Christianity, but his mother Eunice was. But both of them were recognized as passing on this continuing faith to Timothy. And this is one of those models for us of how the faith that we need, is passed on generation to generation. And in that same way, Paul here is, when Paul says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it," this generational movement, "and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It was a reminder to me of the first or second week that I was here and how we hand out the Bibles to the children who are coming up. This act of continuing to pass on the faith and continue to transmit the Word of God for people who are going to need it as they move forward in life. And this Paul pointing Timothy to the sacred writings is part of a opening up of things for us today, because Paul is not pointing to his own letters that he would write yet. Paul is pointing Timothy back to the Old Testament writings. It would be at least 300 years from the time of Paul and his writings before the books of the New Testament were officially set by the church, and when the tradition would recognize the New Testament canon. And so in baptism and in the faith and the promise of Scripture, Paul says, look back as you are struggling to find your faith. And this is where we can take a similar cue. And we look in part this morning at our psalm. I lift my eyes to the hills, from where is my help to come? Psalm 121 is part of a group of psalms which are called Psalms of Ascent or Songs of Ascent. And these were this grouping of holy writings which were meant to literally be sung while climbing up the hills, making the pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. And one of the things that we can think about is this lift, is the physical and the spiritual act of lifting our eyes to look up. There is this movement where you go from looking down and inside yourself, and as your eyes are lifted up, it begins to move you to seeking something beyond yourself. And it puts you in a posture where you can receive. It is that inside to outside. There's a reason where when we come to Holy Communion, even when we come into the space, there's a reason that you see in so many churches these structures and pieces and paintings and crosses that move us up behind the altar. Because in that act of allowing ourselves to move from in to out and from down to up, we begin to move into the place where we can receive and encounter Christ. There's a reason that you'll go to a church and you'll see, as Pastor Tim does when he celebrates, you'll see the pastor lift up the bread and lift up the wine. And it's because we are drawn up to that, and in that act, we become open to receiving. And here we talk about the one that we are receiving. We begin to understand that we can't help ourselves, but we begin looking up for our help, and then we know that our help comes from the Lord, who is the creator of heaven and earth. This psalm is meant to direct us to God, and it is meant to inform us about Christ. It contains promises to us about the God and our Savior who will not fall asleep, so we can understand that the one who is watching over Israel, the people that we have become a part of, he will neither slumber nor sleep. His shepherding of us is promised to be eternal. These are promises of the hope that we have in the resurrection. Promises of new life and forgiveness of sins from an unwavering God who is always reaching out to care for us, even as we can become curled inward on ourselves. These are the things that Paul is calling up for Timothy, and that he is calling up for us. This knowing that his sure and certain death is coming, and in the face of that, pointing his dear friend, who he will not see again, back to Christ. Not only so that Timothy could have the strength to, as Paul is concerned about, preach the truth in the face of those who would wander away to myths, but this is much more so that when we, like Timothy, when life comes and we face those losses and those struggles, there are reminders to us so that in those moments we can come to the table and look at Christ and open up, lift our eyes, and receive him freely, knowing that Christ is where our help will come from. And we can hear that each and every time we come to the table and know that from the moment of our baptism until eternity, the Lord will continue to watch over your going out and your coming in. And that is the promise that we are anchored in. Amen.